Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics such as
Joan and Tony from Girlfriends. I'm sorry, what two friends go to therapy about each other to fix and solve and keep their relationship? Also, when Tony lost her fiance because she was trifling, she was more worried about her losing her relationship with Joan. And she went in front of God to apologize in church. And then all of a sudden, Joan comes up and they interlock fingers and they hold hands. And the entire show, you're just sitting there like, okay, so they're in love, obviously. So shout out to Girlfriends. Shout out to Joan and Tony.
This is not straight behavior.
There's no heterosexual like explanation for it, honestly. Like, it's just, it's so gay.
What up, Corona?
What's poppin', chingona? What's good, good, good?
Having AC for a little while, I guess that's kind of nice.
That is super nice. Shout out to AC, because that shit, you can't take that for granted anymore with global warming.
Yeah, seriously. With that in mind, the reason I have AC is because I'm in a hotel room, so if there are noises of a nearby highway or whatever else, I apologize.
Yeah, no, you're good. I mean, they can understand. Look, we're trying to survive out here. We're trying to make it, y'all. So that's just how it's going to be. But as we were talking about, have you ever seen Girlfriends?
I watched it when it was like on fucking UPN, dude. Like, I can't remember. I was a baby. Yeah, but I did watch it back in the day.
Yes. No, that was like my shit. Like, I watched that like all through like middle school and high school, all the reruns I would watch like religiously, and like I was obsessed, and I still am right now. I've been binge watching since it came out, and it's been nonstop for me. I've just been in that world, and it's, I forgot how straight they were, but then at the same time the show is super gay. Like, they're all in love with each other, and
it's called Girlfriends.
And I mean, yes, it's straight, they're all dating men, but I don't know, the way they're obsessed with each other, it's like very female gaze and black female gaze on top of that, so I'll take anything. And also, this is like iconic because I love Tony's like the meanest, best character I've ever seen, and I'm kind of obsessed with her. And also, I'm obsessed with Maya. I'm obsessed. They're all beautiful and I love them.
So now we know what you've been watching.
What are you been watching?
I watched this show called Away with that one girl that she was like the Karate Kid for a film. I forgot her name, but
the lady who won an Oscar.
Did she?
Wasn't she the one that was in? Wait, is it the lady with the short hair, Million Dollar Baby?
Is it? I don't think so.
Hilary Swank.
Shit, yeah, I guess it is.
Hilary Swank, yeah, she's won like two Oscars.
Oh my god, she might just be the lady that I always get confused with, the Karate Kid lady. I always get those two white ladies confused. Anyways, yeah, Boys Don't Cry lady, she stars in it, and that dude that has no lips, I forgot his name.
Wow. All white men.
And I was like, I really just wanted a background show, you know, one of those things to have on while you do shit. And it ended up having like a queer Asian woman character, and it was really interesting, right? Like, they didn't want to fall into the tropey cheating thing that they like to do sometimes, you know, the Imagine Me and You thing. And that's right, I'm saying it, but it was interesting. I think it's worth a watch, like the whole thing, especially if you're into like space and like, you know, going to Mars and like super futuristic shit. There's definitely a lot of really intense moments, and then there's moments that are make you realize like, damn, water is real important, y'all. Like,
oof.
So
yeah, water.
I don't recommend it enough to the point where I would cover it on here, but I do recommend it enough to where like I don't regret watching it at all. I was stoked that I found it, you know, by accident. So
Hilary Swank, she's a badass actress, so I'll probably, and sci-fi and Hilary Swank, yes, sure. Sign me up. That sounds like some good shit.
It almost doesn't really seem like something super far off. Dude, but yeah, what is it?
Oh, I was gonna say it's Latinx Heritage Month. And today's Mexico Independence Day. We're in the past, guys.
Yesterday. Yeah, that officially kicked off. And it kicked off with a freaking atrocity by... or an atrocity being revealed by an amazingly brave Black woman. Apparently, like, there's literally, like, genocide occurring in these ICE facilities, which, honestly, is not that surprising. Like, this...
Not surprising.
When we said that these were concentration camps, like, we weren't fucking around. They're absolutely fucking horrifying and awful. And I can't with this country sometimes, like, seriously.
Yeah, the sterilization of immigrant women isn't, like, a new concept. They've been sterilizing and using eugenics on the other in the United States and the world. They've been using this as a device of conquering, you know, like, it's just what people do when they conquer, and it's absolute bullshit, and, I don't know. It's depressing for all the women that it's happening to. I think the majority of women in detention camps are also, like, Haitian or African. They're non-Latinx folk. And also Latinx folk, of course, too, right? But I think a lot of them are, like, Haitian. And it's really fucked up. And shout out to Black women. And we're starting off Latinx Heritage Month and reminding y'all to protect Black women always, because they're the only ones putting themselves on the front line. I don't see anything but, like, Latinas being the people who are ICE detention cops. So fuck y'all. Protect Black women at the beginning of Latinx Heritage Month. Do not forget that Latinx Heritage Month is not about, you know, white Latinos or Latinos that look like me and Maite, you know? Like, fuck that. Like, if you can't include your Black sisters and brothers and sisters in this shit, then fuck you. I don't want it in here. And also, TERFs, get shot into space. Again, reminder, as per usual.
Speaking of excellent Black women, Pungi Johnson is going to be the first out lesbian, Black lesbian, on SNL. Which, they've previously had a Black lesbian on SNL. But she wasn't out at the time. So this is, like, right for the first time ever, they're going to have, like, Pungi Johnson as well as Kate McKinnon and Bowen Yang. Like, this is going to be the gayest, I guess, upcoming season. And who knows if it'll actually make a difference. But I'm kind of...
That's crazy.
As a person who's very, like, I don't know about SNL, but sometimes they have some really good shit. You know, that kind of, like, you know, I love skit shows is my thing. So I'm looking forward to at least, like, looking at it, checking it out, seeing maybe only her skits. I don't know. We'll see.
Only her skits. Dude, like, what I was realizing the other day is Mad TV is on HBO Max. And I'm remembering why I kind of always lean towards Mad TV, because they actually had Black and brown people in the show.
And Asian, like, people, yeah.
And Asian people. It was actually diverse, and it actually looked like how LA looked. And so, I mean, it's really problematic now. It did not age well, of course, right? But, but you know, their hood skits were great. And the fact that Mrs. Swan, you know, came from there. Now she's won a Golden Globe. And she's in The Wonderful Mrs. Maisel. So that's wow, it's amazing. But, yeah, I was always leaning towards Mad TV because it was always diverse without trying to be. Like, it just catered to that already. And so, you know, I guess shout out to SNL for finally catching up, like, 20-some years later.
Trying to, anyway. They're still pretty weak.
Yeah.
But I'm just excited about that.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Oh. So throwing it back to a while back, right before we started our hiatus for the month of, what was it, August or whatever it was?
All the months are the same.
We did an episode on Babysitter's Club, and honestly, I think we were, like, we were a little burnt out at the time, you know? Like, we were like, eh. But that doesn't really excuse anything. I'm just mentioning that. We were definitely burning out. We needed that hiatus.
Yeah.
But because of we've been wanting to, for, like, the past almost, like, a month and a half, wanting to release this audio that the daughter of an amazing listener of ours sent in about Babysitter's Club, because we didn't really talk about the character Stacy, who's the character that has diabetes in the show, but Luna, has schooled us, and like I said, she sent this in like only like a week after we released that episode, so it sounds like she's talking to us way back then, which is because she was. But we're gonna play that for you now because she has some way more knowledgeable thoughts on Stacey's character than we did. So here you go.
Hola CYC Podcast. My name is Luna from Chicago, Illinois, and I am 9 years old. Last week, you discussed the Babysitter's Club, and my mom told me that your podcast is all about representation in media. I want to share some thoughts on why Stacey matters so much to me. Stacey, like me, is a child living with type 1 diabetes. A lot of people don't know what type 1 diabetes is, and sadly, I have watched and heard so many shows only use diabetes as a joke. As someone that lives with a chronic illness, I want you to know that Stacey might not be the activist or the artist or the tomboy, but she's definitely the toughest. Living with type 1 diabetes is hard and painful. I have to give myself shots of insulin to stay alive, and all the devices I wear have to be inserted with needles that would make most people faint. Seeing Stacey's struggle was like seeing myself and so many other kids that just want to be looked at like regular kids. And even though they didn't get it all right, I was so excited to finally see myself and my story on TV. I hope that more people with invisible and visible chronic illnesses get the chance to see themselves too. Thank you for listening to me, CYC Podcast. Goodbye.
Thank you, Luna. That was amazing. That was so informative. You're right. Like, some people like us here at CYC needed to inform ourselves a little bit better on that character. But thank you so much for sending in your thoughts. They were, like, beautifully said. I wish I could speak that well.
No, yeah, you should start your podcast soon. I'll listen to it any day. And, I mean, it was super enlightening to hear from her because we didn't take chronic illness that seriously. And as someone with a chronic illness, I want to apologize to you, Luna, because, wow, I actually do experience that. Yeah, not that, but I have a chronic illness too, and it does get made fun of a lot. And it sucks because we don't get to live exactly normal lives. So just want to say, we apologize, and I especially know what that feels like. So thank you so much for enlightening us. It was really awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And I hope that, you know, Babysitter's Club is just the beginning of it and we get more of this, right? Because you got to start somewhere. Like, we talk about it all the time. You just got to start here, and then it spirals to the next one that isn't that great, and then eventually you get a really good one. So hopefully we'll keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah, hope that you get more representation out here, just like we want to. So shout out to you.
Shout out. All right, so before we get started, I just want to say to everybody, leave us a darn review. As you can tell, I miss Pat on De Colores Radio.
A darn review.
A darn review. But let's get started. I'm excited. I'm guessing we should just get into it and maybe go in chronological order as far as the specific pieces that we're going to be talking about.
Yeah, for sure. So today we have a great fun episode. I basically get to gush. We both get to gush about the wonderful Michaela Cole. Her name is a lot more complicated, and I apologize.
Michaela Cole?
Yeah, no, but that's not her name. You know, that's like she shortened it for us.
Oh, yeah. That's her like stage name. Her actual full name. Yeah, I feel you. My name ain't Maite.
Yeah, so, you know, we respect your real name. But so we get to just like fangirl and be in love with her for this entire episode. And I've been waiting to do this since maybe Chewing Gum came out, because that changed the game for me, and it really changed. It started kind of like this new wave of, like, you know, representation to me that actually felt authentic and came from a very real place. And it was coming from the UK. So shout out to Michaela Cole. We're going to discuss Chewing Gum, and we're going to discuss I May Destroy You. So fair warning, when we get into I May Destroy You, there's a lot of topics that aren't, you know, necessarily appropriate. It's going to be about assault. It's going to be about trauma. So if you want to avoid that portion of this like episode, we'll let you know before we get into I May Destroy You, and then you go ahead and skip on over it. But just fair warning. Okay, so.
Dude, can we talk about Michaela just for like before we get into
Chewing Gum? Oh my God, yes. Let's go. I love her.
Sweet. Dude, she's awesome. Born in London, parents from Ghana. She knows that first gen life like we do. And she started in theater, and she literally had that one woman show called Chewing Gum Dreams, which then got turned into Chewing Gum. But what I found out that I did not know, and I'm not 100% like on it, like it's just something that she said in the past, but she says that she feels like she is aromantic.
Oh,
which
that's interesting,
which is like something that people don't often like talk about, right? Like, because people know generally somewhat what being ace is, what being asexual is, but a lot of people don't talk about being aromantic, which we had one guest that was aromantic on the show, but it was a long time ago. But yeah, aromantic basically means like that they don't aren't necessarily like into being romantic with people, right? Like, not as much to do with like sex and sexuality, more to do with like your feelings and emotions towards other people. But I thought that that was really, really interesting.
That is interesting. That kind of makes sense when it comes to how she writes Chewing Gum. Not so much maybe I May Destroy You, because there's a lot of other elements going on there, but in Chewing Gum, that kind of makes sense. Like, she can't do romance. That makes a lot of sense. Like,
well, that's cool.
No, yeah, so that makes sense into Chewing Gum, because Chewing Gum is about Tracy. She is she's a virgin who lives on these British estates in the UK, which is kind of like the only equivalent I could think to be like the projects in the United States, is like an estate in the UK. Yeah.
Working class, like,
yes,
bunch of people, big buildings.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Big buildings. And she is on her own sexual awakening and journey. She's trying to lose her virginity in the show, but at the same time, she's getting stopped by her super religious mother. Her name's Joy. She's a pastor, and she's actually a evangelical. She's an evangelical pastor on her estate. And her sister, Cynthia, shout out to her, she's just as crazy about the religion as her mom. So Tracy is spending this entire show attempting to find love. And one of the best things about this show that's kind of pretty unique and pretty interesting is that it gives us all the representation that we've ever asked for, right? Like, Maitha and I are both children of immigrants. She is also a child of an immigrant. She also grew up poor. She also grew up being other. She's a black woman. She's not a light-skinned black woman. She is a regular black woman. She's not... Finally, we get someone who's not a light-skinned black woman as the lead. and she's talking about her experiences finding love with... And being very open about her race. Being very open about where she is in, like, socioeconomic part of UK and in London. So she takes from this very real experience of her life living on this estate, and she made it a comedy. It originally started as a one-woman play, and it was actually like a hardcore drama. She said it was a lot more like traumatic and a lot dealing with like dark humor, and that when she finally shopped it, the producers were like, well, you're going to have to turn this into a comedy and kind of like chill out with the rest of the trauma stuff. So starting from the jump, she is already starting to kind of change her idea. She's really good at writing comedy. She's really good at expressing herself through comedy, but it's something that she was already having to change. So season one of Chewing Gum happens, and the behind the scenes to Chewing Gum is really important, because the behind the scenes of Chewing Gum is why we got I May Destroy You. So I'm going to kind of lean into that really quick, because the show is really funny. It's really great. It's just about Tracy losing her virginity while being a black daughter of an immigrant, and she's constantly breaking the fourth wall. There's just so many things that Tracy is doing in the show that's like cringy, but also hilarious. And she's being very candid about sex. the actual time she loses her virginity, I think, is the very end of the show. The whole thing is like painful to watch. Is painful to hear me mumble about it right now. Sorry, guys.
Dude, Chewing Gum, I haven't seen it in forever. And honestly, even if I had time to watch it, like, amongst all this other shit that I'm having to do right now, like, I wouldn't have been able to, because honestly, I'm not even mad at it. Micaela is like a fucking bad bitch, right? Like, she knew it. Like, she knows exactly what she's doing. She did the same thing with I May Destroy You, where she's like, I'm not just going to give this show to anyone. This is mine. I'm going to do what I want. It's the kind of thing that, like, I'm trying to think of, like Cristela, right? Like, she got screwed over by the fact that somebody else owned her show. But Micaela Cole was, like, a badass about it. So you know a little bit about that story too, right? About what happened with Chewing Gum.
Yes, I do. So they offered to make a season 3 for $1 million, but they also offered to own the show, and she finally read into her contracts and was like, wait, we're not doing that shit. You're not owning my intellectual property. So she retained the rights to Chewing Gum. And that's why we can't see it on Netflix now, because she actually owns it. She did not sign away her rights to it. They're still playing it in the UK on Channel 4 as it originally aired over there. You can still watch it online. But she did not let Netflix take over. And even, I mean, that takes a lot to turn down $1 million when you're just starting off.
And she did it. Netflix did it again. They offered $1 million for the rights to, I think, I May Destroy You. Talk about fucking lowballing. Yep. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, and that's why shout out to her for being the baddest bitch ever. She went to the McTaggart lecture, and she was one of the first, like, women and first black women to speak at that lecture series. And she openly talked about how they were screwing her, how even the producers from the people who are making her show were, like, trying to screw them over constantly. They're seeing how much they could get away with treating them shitty, and treating, especially, like, because the show centered around black women, treating black women poorly in the industry. And so her, like, hour-long speech was just her, like, telling them, we need to rebuild this house, you know. And she, it was really interesting. She's brilliant. She is one of the most incredible writers and one of the most interesting people I've ever seen, because, as she said, maybe they had the ability, they had the training, they had the schooling, but she has the true stories. She has the authenticity of that story. Like, Chewing Gum and I May Destroy You are nothing alike, and for that to come from one writer, like, what? Like, Phoebe Waller-Bridgers, who are you, girl? I don't know you. I forgot your name. Like, I only acknowledge her.
Okay.
Fleabag, what?
I love Phoebe.
What is Fleabag? I don't, nah, go away.
They should not be compared. It's fucking apples and oranges. And I love apples and I love oranges.
No. I'm only comparing them the way that executives see them.
I'm not saying that you are. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, I'm going along with you in that, because that's where that's coming from, right?
It's like, just executives. People
trying to. It's just because, like, you see a woman, like, star and write and direct her own shit, and all of a sudden you're like, same bag. And like, no, it's not the same bag, just because they both talk like this. Like, they're not the same.
Oh, mate. They do not. Yeah, they're, oh, not my God, the same.
I have to drag somebody. I don't know if you, this is gonna be a total, like, segue.
Yeah, what's up?
I tweeted this thing about, like, this Latina, like, cosplaying as, like, a Harry Potter character, and she was like, it was like a TikTok. Oh. And she was, like, you know, putting a lot of, like, Spanish stuff in, like, the dialogue. And some British dude replied. He's like, oh, I couldn't understand a single word of this. I was like, okay, mate. Fucking see you on Tuesday.
See you on Tuesday.
I was so mad. I was like, fuck you. Some things aren't for you. Yeah. But
yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah.
I digress.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's like, Micaela Cole does this whole thing where she doesn't give a fuck about the white gays, as much as, like, yes, those are the people that finance her. She doesn't give a fuck about them. Like, she'll openly criticize UK culture and the racism that she's experienced. Like, she's talked about, like, being called the N-word while she was in, like, theater school. Like, she's talked about how fucked up they treated her in, like, theater. And it's like, she's like, no, this is not something that's, like, I'm making up. It's not brand new. It didn't stop. Like, it's happening. It continues to happen. And I'm not going to not talk about it. And I think that's the beautiful thing about her, is that there's so much nuance. There's so much nuance in what she's saying. And there's so much nuance in what she's showing you. And it's not for everyone. Like, I'm not going to catch everything. I'm not from the UK, right? Like, I'm not going to get all the jokes. But I mostly got the jokes, right? Like, there's just so much there that we want, right? Like, we don't want a story that's for everyone. We don't want a story that's going to be too general, that it feels like it's being pandered to us. Like, she doesn't do that. She doesn't hold your hand. She says, this is my singular experience, and I'm going to show you it, and I'm going to write it very well, and it's going to be developed everywhere, and here you go. And it's like, that's everything we wanted. We want authentic stories told from people that, like, have actually experienced these things. Like, I could care less, you know, if... You know, just like we said, if you're going to write Portrait of a Lady on Fire and have only white people in it, make it the best one, right? Like, that's all we're asking for, is, like, make it the best version of itself. And that's what she's doing in everything that she's... And she's not made too much yet. But for the two things that she's done herself, that's what she's been able to do, is add a layer, not one layer, like 10 layers of nuance that aren't there and that we don't get to see on a regular basis. So I'm obsessed with her for that. And that's why... that's why we got I May Destroy You, which is actually something very traumatic that happened to her in between writing season one and season two of Chewing Gum. She had something very serious happen to her, and then we got that, and it's just her expression, it's just her art, and I'm gonna let you go ahead and lead us into that.
Just a little bit of background or some general information about I May Destroy You, in case any of you haven't seen it. It's on HBO, guys, because I know, like, HBO's expensive, but if you have access, please take a look at this British comedy dramedy TV series created, written, co-directed, and executive produced all by Mika Nicole.
Directed, did y'all hear that?
Everything. She did everything. And, like, when I tell you that I fucking, like, jaw dropped when I found out that she didn't have a writer's room. She wrote all 12 episodes, which normally I'd be like, okay, Tyler Perry. But I forgave her 100%. Because, you know, this is her story. This is, like, basically semi-autobiographical. Yeah. She changed, like, you know, from writer of a television series to writer of a book to a Twitter legend, you know. She changed some things around, but it's... Arabella is her, yep. Right? Like, it's... And she's very... God, she does so many things right in this show. I'll get into it. Okay, so, once again, trigger warning. This show is about Arabella, a woman who was raped. Sorry, that's a spoiler, but it's not really a spoiler. It's like what the whole show is about. It's about how this, you know, trauma upends her life, as well as how she gets through it, how she deals with it. But it's really heavy. It's really dark. It's also really beautiful. So we're going to get into it.
Let's do it.
It's going to be light on spoilers, but it's also going to... I want to talk about some specific moments in this show, and it's going to take us talking about the actual parts of the series, you know? No matter what we talk about, and it's one of those series where you still want to see it yourself, right? Like, it's the spoiler is never a full spoiler, no. You know?
It's
like,
so much more than just that trauma as right. Human experiences, right?
Yeah. It starts out, like Farbita already mentioned, she's writing, she's like... procrastinating. That's a writer's favorite thing to do. But I kind of want to, like, go a little abstract into it. I don't want to, like, necessarily be like, this is how it starts, you know? Like, I'm not gonna do that. But one of the really amazing things that I loved to watch, one of the most fascinating parts to me of this series, was how she portrayed her own inability to be alone with her own mind. Because it's one aspect of depression that people don't talk about very often. But it's one that, like, I know the best of all the aspects of depression. Like, that's the one where I'm like, that shit right there, right? It's when you can't, like, shower without music playing. It's when you can't be idle. You can't be bored. When being sober is your fucking enemy. Like, all these things. Like, Arabella, or Bella, what was her nickname? Like, she was planning every second of her day. You know, even, like, when her therapist was, like, recommending things. Oh, and also seeing her in therapy, that's dope. But when her therapist was, like, recommending things for her to do to, like, express herself or to, like, get through her trauma and stuff, Arabella was like, okay, yeah, what can I do that with? Like, she was immediately like, I don't want to be alone. She's like, what activity will I be focusing on, and who is going to be there with me? All these things, just so she doesn't have to think about her life.
That's such, like, a millennial thing to do, too. The ways in which doesn't cope. Being like...
Yeah, I loved it. I love seeing that portrayed, because, like, depression like can look like you going out and having a good time with friends.
Yeah, and like, I mean, it's not just her either. It's in the ways that Kwame is avoiding his own trauma. It's the way that Terry is, I don't know, maybe sometimes it feels like she's overcompensating for her own guilt at times, and yet at other times you feel like she's just actually just being a good friend to Arabella, who, you know, I feel like the whole show is a conversation on like how people who have experienced trauma avoid that trauma and then use social media, use other people as these other addictions so they can stop dealing with, or not stop dealing, but not even touch the surface of their own baggage, right? And she, what you see in the show is a beautiful development from beginning to end of her not dealing with her trauma, which is such a regular human thing. And then in the ways that she doesn't deal with it, she becomes like super into social media. She starts feeding off of other people's trauma, anything so that she doesn't feel her own pain. And you see those interactions when she's walking down the street and people come up to her, or the way she starts using social media as this like device to extend her like self-righteousness. But even then, she's only kind of like buying into this capitalistic like social media, yeah, self-care bullshit that isn't real.
That conversation, that comes from that part of her like dealing with a trauma where she delves into social media, but then like kind of gets told by her therapist that social media is really using, yep, her, you know, it's changing her, because she becomes really insufferable.
Yeah.
And that she was able to like her as herself, right, like not bringing anybody else in, she herself was able to be like, I was fucking awful, like I was like insufferable, I was up my own ass, I was just like, you know what I mean, it was just another terrible coping, mm-hmm, mechanism, even though it was masked once again by this thing that seems positive, because she's trying to make a difference, she's trying to help people, and she is helping people, but it's also like, what are you doing to yourself?
Yeah,
you
know, like what does social media end up doing to you? Like,
yeah,
what is it?
I love that she talks about mm-hmm, social media just changing your behavior, because you're not you on social media.
No, you're performing.
Yeah, or if you are, you're like taking one little sliver of you and then absolutely exaggerating, mm-hmm, it. You know, so that took over her whole life, and you saw her just be absolutely insufferable to the point where she was being insensitive to Kwame. And I think we should get into Kwame now.
Ooh, yeah.
Kwame is her best friend, or one of her two best friends, who is a gay man. I think he's also first generation and has like similarities to her. But he also suffers from like a terrible assault, mm-hmm, right? But it's very distinct from Bella's, because Bella's, like, there was substances involved, there was like blame thrown about, there was like, it was just, and then the way that when she went to go deal with it, people treated her, ooh, a completely different way from the way that they treated him.
Yes.
Because he was a man, and because there was initially consent in his experience, and then, you know, it turned around, mm-hmm, on him, and because of that, like, so much like validity was taken away from that. And yeah, it was just like the law enforcement stuff alone was just so cringy.
It's real.
You know, it was awful when it came to even Bella's experience, of course, because there's people there, there's a woman there who's like been through it a dozen times, like it's just like a thing that happens. But when it comes to Kwame, it's like they don't even like know how to deal with it. They don't know how to talk to him.
No.
And he doesn't like know how to talk about it either, because I mean, nobody, yeah, does.
Like, how do you even to make sense of that? And then everyone around you is just treating you like it's your fault. Like, nah, you're dipping out. And that's what he did for his own, like, unfortunately, it wasn't safe for him to even go there and make a report. It wasn't safe for him either. And he experienced probably what, like, women used to probably experience maybe 15, 20 years ago. It's like, wait, what? What are you here for? Like, that's strange. Go away. Like, and
back when, like, men wouldn't even get they would get, like, a slap on the wrist.
Yeah, yeah. When they'd be like, yeah, oh, you hit that, bro? High five, you know, and move on. Like, instead, they just slut shame, which I felt, I mean, I want to kind of get into like how kind of problematic even Kwame was after he had experienced his trauma. Like that, and that's what I really like about the show is that these people are victims, right? They show a lot of people that are victims of really terrible, fucked up things, and how they kind of go on to kind of do shitty things too, right? And that's kind of because, you know, hurt people, right? It's this cycle of trauma. It's this cycle of hurt that continues, and it only continues until they decide to stop it. It only can like that's how trauma works.
Then they get called out, and they call each other out, and they hold each other accountable. And it's not always in the best way because fuck, like
there's no good way to do it, you know.
No real friendships are sitting there like being low key therapists to you, right? They're gonna like be rude about it. They're gonna like call you out when they're drunk. Like they're not gonna be nice about it. It's just. So I loved how messy it was when it came to Terry calling out Bella and then Bella calling out Kwame and then Kwame like not even wanting to talk about it, not even wanting to go there. And Kwame then trying to apologize to a woman who was low-key like,
racist.
Looking
she's racist
and like homophobic. I love the like kind of there's this bit where Kwame starts talking to a girl because sexuality is on a spectrum and all that, but there's a moment where she doesn't know he's gay and she starts talking shit about gay people.
Yep.
And it's like it just like reminds you of like everything, right? Like what are people saying when you're not looking? Like people have come to me and been like trying to be like, you know, like trans people are cool, but like if I'm being honest, I'm like,
nope,
talking to the wrong girl. Like it's just like, what are people saying behind your back? And like, are you gonna call them out? You know, like
can you? That's what sucks. Like, are you in a position? Like,
are you gonna call somebody
out? Like, yeah. Are you in a position to call them out? And like, I think what Kwame does is very human, you know, and everything he did, you're meant to sympathize with these people who are not perfect. Like, no one's an angel in this show. No one's like a perfect person. And I love that. I love that nuance that she put into these characters because none of them are like great. Like they're all kind of shitty and they're all kind of wonderful and loving. And that's kind of the point of the series is that like all these people suck, right? And every single one of them. But what you see is their journey. You see them heal and you see Michaela Cole heal and accept. And there's a particular scene where it's very like obvious that she's healed. It was episode 10. It was called The Cause and the Cure. She sits down with Terry after she finds out that Terry kind of helped her whole assault kind of go along. Like she was one of the many puzzle pieces that had to fit that night for that to happen to her. And instead of blaming Terry like she had been doing the entire series, is blaming other people, being upset, she immediately didn't even need to forgive Terry. She just looked at her and thanked her. She was grateful that she even had a friend be with her. And the way that Terry was supporting her that entire time, this entire series, you're not mad at Terry. You know that Terry made a mistake and it was human, but you see the rest of Terry, that it was this beautiful, amazing friendship between them. And it was beautiful to see two black women be carefree in a lot of these episodes, to be just having fun or to just be in this loving, stable friendship together. And I think that was very beautiful and unique, and you don't ever get to see that bond. And it was so deeply humanized, and it was so deeply human when she finally looked at Terry and just thanked her for being a good friend. And I was like, what the trauma therapy.
It was a really beautiful moment because you're really literally at your wit's end with Bella and the way that she's being with Terry. You know, you're like, and then she's like, you know, she's also at her wit's end with herself. So she thanks Terry. It was a beautiful moment.
It was a good episode. It was actually my favorite episode.
I gotta give podcasts and podcasting a little, she gave them a little shout out. I gotta give podcasts a shout out in the way that we are for free informing people out here, like in general, because after Bella is assaulted, she takes up a quick little relationship with another man, and like after this experience that she has with him, that she like initially kind of blows off, she's listening to a podcast that where literally they're talking about a different kind of assault, right? Which is one that's like about deceit more than anything. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about non-consent in different ways, like, and she literally realizes and she gets like the correct like verbiage, like, to just be able to even express what's happened to her and to understand, like, you know, like glass breaking. Mm-hmm. Like, you're like, oh shit, like that was more fucked up, like that wasn't just a little accident, that wasn't an innocent little mistake, like that was an assault on me, you know, like
that's when she loses it, that's when it's gone after that.
Yeah, so like she's initially like blowing off this thing, she has a denial moment, but then, and then she like, you know, listens to this podcast and just gets informed, and it's just like, just hearing other people's experience, like that's amazing. That maybe that's another reason that this whole show is so important and why I'm so happy that it's out there, because other people are gonna have that same realization in that moment of like, okay, like I'm not alone, two, it's not okay for people to be doing this shit to yep. me, like, you know. And so, yeah, shout out to fucking podcast, dude. She just straight up put that podcast on while the dude was in the shower and came out, and she was like, fuck you.
Everything made sense to her in that moment. But, I mean, imagine you go through all this bullshit and then it happens again. It's just not funny. It's just, like, fucked up. No, it's honest.
It's fucked up, yeah. It's like, damn, like, who can you trust? But then, mm-hmm. you know, it's there's literally diversity in like the kinds of like assaults that can happen to you, so it's just, and none of it is like the, you know, what fucking people are making out here these days, which is like these very like PSA type of things. Like, these are real experiences, these are real things that happen in real ways with people who are not perfect, to people, and like things are not black and white, there's so many gray areas. Like, if the way that this was written, the experiences are personal, like, this, it's a beautiful, very heavy show.
Yeah. Do your healing before, because if...
I mean, some people...
It could be healing with it. Yeah, I mean, for me, yeah. Like, the second time, it really was healing, but the first time, I was like, this is a lot, I need to step away. Because if you're not healed and then you see this, you're like, oh my god, I need to go drink and be alone for, like, you know, avoid. That's the way I avoid. I'm like, I'm gonna go avoid my problems, I'm not gonna think about this shit. But seriously, like, this show, it emphasizes that healing, and it doesn't hold your hand. And that's my favorite thing about one of the many favorite things about her, is that she doesn't hold your hand. She's not gonna tell you anything, she's gonna show you. And I think a very good writer doesn't hold your hand. They just show you. And that episode 10, where she's coming, she's understanding the relationship between her mother and her father. She's finding out her childhood trauma. You know, this absent father and this mother who maybe she's never felt close to. And then towards the end of the episode, she gets that closeness with her mother, and she forgives her father in the same episode. And I feel like that's something that's like very, very heavy work in real life. And she didn't walk you through it, but that's very heavy work in real life. Like, to forgive is a whole nother level. And the whole show has been about her forgiving herself. And she fucks up so much at the beginning, and it's really, you're mad at her. And towards the end, she's found a way to let go of her pain. She's found a way of forgiving herself and forgiving the people that have wronged her. And maybe, you know, she says she's not a Christian anymore, but there's like, that's like kind of really Christian, but it's also just very human. And you have to kind of do it to move on, right? You have to kind of forgive. And she didn't get there immediately. And that very last episode was just, oh my god, can we talk about that last episode?
Yeah, we can talk about it. It's I have some maybe like lighter things we can finish off.
Yeah, let's do the heavy, so we don't have to and be, then like, we'll do traumatized. The light. So
yeah, without, I guess, I mean, she just, it's a, that's the, that was the heaviest episode for me.
Oh,
because yeah. It's like, it's such a mind fuck, you know.
Yeah, so those three different versions, those three different stories, it you didn't really know what you were watching that last episode. You kind of, I freaked out when maybe the first like 15 minutes of that last episode, like what the fuck is happening? And as I watched it and I continued to watch it, I mean, obviously I realized what was happening in the show and how she was coping in real life, how she was actually healing, and she was using the only thing that she knew to heal. And you get to see all versions of her healing process and how she came to that decision and why she, you know, she came to that decision. Again, it's not something she like holds her hands for. You know, she's implying a lot in this very last episode. And I had to watch it 2 times, honestly, as I had to do the last couple episodes, because I just didn't know what I was watching. Because it was just, it's such a different tone from Chewing Gum. Chewing Gum is so light and carefree and witty and cringy. And this show is so dark and emotional. And I mean, sometimes it's funny, but it's mostly very heavy and very cathartic. Honestly, if you have any stuff in your life, it's very cathartic to watch it, to watch that last episode. It feels like you get the apology or the healing you always needed. And it's very good. That very last episode, for me, like, I needed to watch that for me, and it was really good. So shout out, you know, 10 to 10 from that last episode. It healed me, so shout out to that shit.
Yeah. As a writer, the way that I had to view it was, like, her trying to end this story, mm-hmm. right? Her trying to, and, like, so literally, I feel like I imagine her literally being, like, okay, what's the end of I May Destroy mm-hmm. You? And then her thinking, like, what would be a good ending to my trauma? Mm-hmm. And then it's just like interweaving those things and then putting the writing on the wall. Like, it was just a lot. As a writer, I was like, fuck, holy shit. Like, she's really letting a lot out there. Like, a lot of stuff that we like don't like to reveal, she's putting it out there. And
the good, the bad, and the ugly.
It's a lot. The last episode is a fucking lot. Like, I'm telling you that this whole series is a lot, but literally the last episode on its own is like, holy shit.
Yeah, you know? It's like you said, it's the things that you think but you don't say out loud or write about or let anyone see, but she's like, no, I'm gonna show you what I really wanted to say, but you know, maybe I shouldn't say that. And she takes that back and she's like, maybe I'll say this.
And yeah, exactly. She's just like, what do I want to give them? And then
you get a pick, kind of
makes that into a
show. You can kind of pick which one you wanted, right? Like, and seeing it, maybe you're like, oh well, that's not the solution either. And it's perfect because that's the only way you can do it. And it's heavy. And to end lighter, what do you want to talk about?
Oh my god, there's this cute mm-hmm. moment with somebody else. Kwame ends up striking up like a relationship sort of thing with somebody else that is very cute. And there's this moment, Bella has a roommate that's like barely in it. He's like the white dude that's like barely in the show.
Love it.
You know what I mean? He's just like a side character. But there's, oh god, it just, I don't know what it is, but I love the writing of it, just the way that they said the words. Mm-hmm. Right, so Kwame is talking to Bella's roommate and he says, do you ever get that feeling like someone's right for you but you're not the person you need to be to also be right for that person? And I was like, damn, like, it's kind of like people who have been through shit, people who are working on themselves, finally finding something good, and it's almost like an imposter syndrome type of thing. You're like, I don't deserve this, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Or I'm not yet like there, I'm not yet a nice person, I'm not yet all the way like mm-hmm. healed. And so that conversation, that is just like these little like 2 minutes, but it is a gem. And there's another one where she ends up talking to someone who was an abuser of mm-hmm. hers, but she's talking through her story and he's like, I thought you were writing about consent, like, I don't understand. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I do, I understand it, and that's all that matters. The way that she closes that off was really wonderful, because it's the same thing that I think she kind of expected from people watching this show, for them to be like, why aren't you writing about consent in the traditional boring like way?
Hold my hand PSA.
Yeah, she's like I understand it, and that's all that matters. Like, this is my show, this is my experience, this is how I want to portray it, and that's it. Like, I do, just those two words, I do. When she said that, I was like, bam, fuck you, Zane. Like,
No.
So,
and it's yeah. it's also about having creative control and consent over your own work, which she understands as well. Mm-hmm. Like, don't try to take my baby and make it something it's not. Like, don't try to hurt me that way.
That's my IP.
Yeah, baby. Intellectual property. Let's go.
Yeah, it's a great show. It's a lot. It's great. Fucking just go watch it if you can.
Yeah, yeah, I feel like it sums up, like, not sums up. It's a part of a real millennial. It's like what girls thought it was doing. That's what this is actually doing. Like, when she said a voice for a generation. No. This is what Michaela Cole actually is. She's the voice of our generation. Chef's kiss to her. Like, she is the voice of this generation. Easily. Like, I think she's saying so much. There's so much there that is for us. We are the audience. And like you said, like, do you ever feel like you're not the person that you need to be with them? And then the other guy just turns to him and he's like, well, just be it then. And I was like,
oh yeah, he's like so become that.
Yeah,
person,
just be,
you know?
That. Like, bro. Yeah, and that's it. Again, that's healing. That's growth. That's the other yeah. part of it is like, yeah, I don't feel that way. Just be it. That's it. That's not a.
Once you're aware, you know, that changes everything. But you got to tell us, what are your Goncha ratings for Chewing Gum and I May Destroy You?
Oh, my God. Obviously, I'm going to give them six. Six bonuses for both, because Chewing Gum changed my life when it came out, because to center a black woman who is funny and cringe and poor and daughter of an immigrant, like, beautifully written. Yes, I'm so sad we didn't get a season three, but I'm so glad that she's a bad bitch, okay?
Stood her ground.
Yes, and... I May Destroy You is also six bundles says because it look, healing my own trauma, and look, if you got it, it doesn't work for everybody, it worked for me, so go to therapy, y'all. But if you don't have therapy, watch this show, because that shit is $200 a session. Yeah, I don't have that kind of money, so yeah, I May Destroy You, thank you for my therapy, appreciate you. What about you?
I haven't seen Chewing Gum in a long time. I think I just remember, like, the hetero-ness of it being, like, not my favorite. Oh, yeah. But she's hilarious, and I thought it was really great, like, comedic gold, mm-hmm. you know? So I would say probably No Cafecitos. I don't think it ever put me to sleep, you know? It's just, like not something I never went back to it. Because I was never, like, attached necessarily to anything queer and stuff like that. But she was genius, so when she came out with other stuff, I was jumping on the train. And I May Destroy You, zero cafecitos, obviously.
Like, beautifully shot.
Yeah. The one thing I will say is, like, my preferred viewing of that was back-to-back. Mm. That was a binger for me. I literally waited, what, like, a month and a half to watch it, because I wanted to watch it all the way through. Because I like to have the experience of that way. Some shows are just like mm-hmm. that, you know. It's not a sitcom. Like, don't let the 30 minutes fool you. 30 yeah, minute dramas can be done. I will preach that till the day I die.
30 minutes, dude. How? Like, it's
like, this is like 6 hours of content that will blow yes. your mind. So, yeah, No Custos for either. Michaela Cole, my hero. Can't wait to see what she does next. I can't even fathom a season two, but I would love to see it.
Yeah, I mean, I hope they don't. I hope she goes on to make something else, because I feel like she's just not even fully tapped into all of her abilities. Like, she's, like she said, she...
I mean, she can do other stuff and this, yeah. right? Like, she can Childish Gambino it, where they come out and the seasons come out 30 years apart. It's fine. Fleabag did it. Y'all let Fleabag do it.
Yeah, they did, and I think she's just as brilliant, and I think for me, she's more... She's more my cup of tea?
Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever.
More of my cup of matcha.
More,
yeah.
More my... Yeah. I don't drink coffee. Except when I do. And it makes me
more,
crazy.
More my cafecito.
Yeah. Yeah. Iced cafecito. But anyways. Anyways. We digress. So, yes, any shout-outs okay. you want to give out?
Any? I don't think so. Just go... support us on Patreon if you can, if you want to. That's patreon.com/CYC podcast. We also have merchandise on Teespring. If you go on at CYC podcast, either Instagram or Twitter, you can see that link in our bios. We'll also put it on the description of this episode. Check out our website for show notes, complete links on whatever bullshit we mentioned here today.
Yeah, there's a lot.
We have a new, our website is nice and newly recreated. So go check that out, see if you like it.
Yeah.
It's a Latinx Heritage Month, so I don't know if you guys have paid opportunities for us, you know, I'm sure we're down.
Pay some Latinx folk. We'd love that shit. Also, I want to shout out our listener who made earrings out of our logo. So shout out to
Oh my god, dude.
It was amazing.
Fuck yeah.
Shout out to at Jizzle Tortilla. You're amazing. That was really cool. That made my day.
That was fucking dope. I was like, yo, what is that? And then she gave us a sumo and I was like, yeah.
Yes, dude. I was like, I don't deserve, but thank you, queen. Like, I worship at you. This is amazing.
Hard on the internet. Yeah. That was freaking dope.
Yeah, shout out to her. And shout out to any of y'all still listening. Shout out to Chrissy. Chrissy, thank you for the cufflinks, the ruby cufflinks. Oh my God, dude, yeah. The fact that I might actually end up using them soon, that's kind of crazy. But anyways, I'll update you later on that.
Thank you for my fucking... she made me a specialized cafecito pin. I just about died. I need cold weather to come back so I can wear my jacket with my pins. Like, I'm stoked on that shit, dude. It was... gorgeous.
The fact that I'm most likely going to wear those cufflinks come next year, that's like really blowing my mind that she's going to be. I just want you to know, Chris, you're going to be part of something really cool and permanent in my life. And I'm going to show you. So thank you. I really appreciate this. It's really going to be used. So thanks so much.
Let's go.
Let's go.
All right. All right. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Follow my personal shit at MyThePanda, MYT Panda.
Follow me at Fried Babita on Twitter.
And that's it. All right. Bye. Leave us a review.